Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
We are in Galatians chapter 5, and I don't know where they are in youth Bible study, so you better go find out. Have a good time. Galatians chapter 5, fruit of the Spirit. We've been talking about it. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, today we want to talk about something that you and I, every one of us here, feel like we need more of. The King James Version of the Bible calls it long suffering. You and I, we know it better as just patience, right? And patience suffers long. Now, we've discovered in the fruit of the Spirit some things about the fruit of the Spirit. We discovered love. When we put into just one word, we discovered love does. When we looked at joy, we looked at joy and we discovered joy believes. Then last week we looked at peace. And we looked at peace and we realized peace trusts. But this week we're going to look at patience. What one word describes patience to us? Patience waits, right? Waits. And waits and waits. What does it wait on? Patience really is about waiting on God, about waiting on God to work in our lives, waiting on God to open the door, waiting on God to show us the way, waiting on God to bring the miracle, waiting on God for the healing we need, waiting on God to give us His perspective on our problems, waiting on God to know how to speak or how to act in a certain situation. It's just waiting on Him. And it takes patience while we're waiting on Him. But waiting on Him is fruitful, isn't it? Every one of us here, every one of us are waiting on God for something right now. It may be for someone that you know that you love that needs Jesus. And you're waiting on God to break into their life. You may be waiting on God for a miracle in your life. You're waiting on God for this to happen. Or that to happen, or Him to bring you this, or get rid of that. We're waiting on God. Every one of us are. Isaiah 40, 31, when we think about waiting on God, the most famous verse probably is, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we explore this fruit of patience today. Lord, the fruit that is probably the most universally sought after fruit of the Spirit. Daily, constantly seeking, reminded of the fact that we need patience so often in our lives. So Lord, come and help us to learn more about patience, that fruit of patience might grow and develop in the garden of our hearts today. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I don't know why it is, but I mean, universally, it's hard to be patient, isn't it? I think all of us have trouble with patience. Heard a story about a guy who was at an intersection. And just as the light turned green, his car died. So he's cranking the car, trying to get the thing to start, The guy behind him starts honking his horn. Doesn't help. He still can't get the car started. Soon, all the cars piled up behind him are all honking their horn at him. He can't get it to go. The light turns yellow. It turns red. He still can't get it to go. But he got an idea. He gets out of his car, goes back to the guy in the car behind him, and he says, you know what, I'm having real difficulty getting my car started. but if you could maybe come over and help and try start my car, I'd be happy to sit in your car and honk your horn for you. We all want to figure a way where we can cram more into our day, don't we? We want to cram more into our day. We want to get more accomplished in our days. I heard a story about a church over 20 years ago that was advertising, get this, 22-minute services. 22 minutes. Yeah, I'm serious. Pensacola, Florida, this Baptist church was advertising 22-minute services. He said, the pastor said, I'll have the call to worship, the Lord's Prayer, a scripture reading, two hymns, prayer, a sermon, and a benediction, all in 22 minutes, sharp. In, out. Wait a minute, I know what some of you are thinking. Let's just put it straight right now. It ain't happening here. Never happened here. In fact, I decided I'm going to look this up on the internet because I thought I'm not going to share this story if it isn't true. Come to find out it is true. Unfortunately, though, there is no church in Pensacola, Florida any longer with the same name that this church had. And the location of the church, I looked it up on Google Maps, and right across the street from the church is a Methodist church, and they have purchased that church as an auxiliary little building for their use. So evidently, the church with the short service was a short-lived congregation. So today we want to look at patience in three ways. Let's look at patience in three ways. First, how do we gain more patience in our lives, personally? How do I gain more patience in my life? Secondly, how do I have more patience for other people? And thirdly, how can I experience the patience of God? How can I experience the patience of God? So let's look first at gaining more patience in our lives. We want to start here. What is patience anyway? In the Greek, they have three different words that are translated patience or long-suffering. So let's look at these three words in the Greek. Each one of the words, the Greek words, are a combination word of two words. So it's taking two words, combining them together to describe this fruit of the Spirit called patience or long-suffering. The first one is anicho, and it's the two words up and hold together, to uphold. It means to bear up someone, to bear him up, or something to bear up. So think of a donkey or a bullock that's tied to this treadmill that goes around, around in circles. And so all they're doing is just going round and round and pushing the millstone, and either that's pumping the water wheel or that's grinding the grain, and they are just bearing up under that task, day after day, hour after hour, all the time. That's what that word means. The second word is hupomone, and it's the two words under and abide, under and abide. So it has the idea of being able to bear up under a load with perseverance, to be able to bear up and hold up a load and persevere under that. So picture an ox with a yoke around its neck, and it's got a plow there, and it's plowing the field slowly, steadily, day after day, no matter whether it's hard dirt or soft dirt, rocks, obstacles, roots, it's just going to struggle and keep plowing through the dirt. Day after day, heat, cold, doesn't matter. He is bearing under and abiding with that burden. The third Greek word is the one that's translated long-suffering or patience in our text today in the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, and it's mikrothumi. So it's the two words mikro, which is slow, and thumi, where we get the word thermos from, anger. So mikrothumi is slow to anger, okay? This is the word that we really think about more often when we think about patience. It's the opposite of having the short fuse. It's having that long fuse, right? It's usually the one that is the one that helps us to understand this is what we need that allows us to bear up under the irritations of life that cause us what? To usually change our behavior from being a very calm, peaceful, understandable person to an irate, irrational, angry person, right? So patience, let's define patience. Patience is the power of God's love flowing in our lives to help us to suffer long under adversity. Let me repeat that. Patience is the power of God's love flowing in our lives to help us to suffer long under adversity. So patience comes from God, and it comes from His Spirit living within us, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. It comes from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Does that mean non-Christians don't have patience? No. There are non-Christians that are far more patient than I am. What that means for me and you as Christians is that we may not naturally come by patience, but it means that God has a mission and a work that He wants to do in our lives through the power of His Holy Spirit to grow and develop the fruit of patience in our lives. It means that we don't have to always be impatient. It means God is working on changing and growing our character, growing who we are in Christ Jesus. So we know when we allow God to work His patience in our lives, it's going to produce things in us. It produces strength. It produces endurance of character. It literally changes who we are as He grows us in that fruit of patience in our lives. Another thing it does is it causes us to experience God in a whole new way, because as we're patient and wait on Him, we experience His faithfulness in our lives in each and every situation. Because when we're impatient and we strive in our own flesh to do things or get something done, we often miss the miracle and the opportunity of God actually doing it His way in His time. Yeah. So how do we have patience, you and me? How do we have patience in our lives in the year 2016 in America? Okay, how do we have patience? Because I'm convinced years ago, it was a whole lot easier to be patient than it is today. Why? Because I think our impatience is bound by time constraints. When the clock was invented, you had the watch right on our wrist, and our cell phones now, we're always looking at the time. I've got one right there. We are always time conscious. No matter what happens during our day, we wake up, boom. We often set an alarm because we want to wake at a certain time. Some of you have in your mind what time you want to get to bed tonight to prepare for the next work week. But in primitive parts of the globe, even today, in primitive parts of the globe where they're not bound by timepieces, I think they're kind of more patient. They kind of hang loose. Manana, we can get it done later. It's not that big of a thing. Tomorrow's coming, we'll do it then. But we don't have that mentality because we are bound by time. Think about how many times do you look at the clock or at the watch, at your phone, for the time every day? Dozens of times. We got meetings. Meetings are by time. When it begins, when it ends, so we can get to the next meeting that has to start what? On time, right? Task, activities. We have times. Laura and I woke up yesterday morning. Before we got out of bed, what's her first question to me? What are you going to do today? So I asked her, what are you going to do today? We already had it planned out. We had our day. We had plans on what we wanted to do during the day. We have our work day is tasked by time. We even have break time. Then we got time to go back to work, time to end work. Yeah, when we wake up and when we go to bed. And the thing is we want to get things done, don't we? We all have to-do lists. See, I had it in my head. She asked, what are you going to do today? Well, here's what I want to do. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. It was a light day. I only had three things. She had a little heavier day, four or five things on her list. So we have these tasks. And because we have task or to-do list, we have time demands now to get the tasks done so we can get on to the next task to do them all. But did you know something? The thing that you and I really value most in life, the things that really matter to us most, they're not on a to-do list. They're not tasks on our list. The things that matter to us most is what? I want to be a good husband. Lori wants to be a good wife. I want to be a good father. Lori wants to be a good mother. I want to be a growing and faithful Christian. Those are my goals. Those things are my priorities. Those things matter the most. And you know what it takes for those things to develop in my life and in yours? Patience. Yeah, they don't happen overnight. They happen slowly, incrementally in our lives, one moment by one moment by one moment. The Apostle Paul spoke about this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 and 23. He gave us some keys, very important advice. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Whatever you do, he didn't say you had to get the whole list done, but whatever you do, do it well. Do it with excellence. Do it to the glory of God, not to the glory of man. So we talked a little bit about patience in our life and define patience. What about having patience for others? I have difficulty having patience for myself, but I have a greater difficulty having patience for others, don't you? Yeah, most of us do. We're impatient with others. So what can we learn about having patience for others? First thing is this. Having patience for others is simply this. It's me giving other people the time and the space that I would like to have myself. I would like them to give me some time and me some space to grow, to learn, to mature, to get over it, to get on, to change. It's me being allowing someone else. It's me being willing to give that other person that time and that space to change because that's what I want. That's what I want them to do. So that means I'm going to hang tough when I really want to blow up, right? It's allowing God to help me to treat others the way I want them to treat me. I heard a story about a kindergarten teacher. It was a rainy day, and school was out, and so little Johnny came to the teacher and needed help getting his boots on. So she fought, struggled, and pulled on, got one boot on, then got the other boot on, and they pulled it and pulled and pulled and got it up. It was on. Little Johnny looks down at his boots, looks up at the teacher and says, they're on the wrong feet. Sure enough, she looked. There they were. They were on the wrong feet. Problem was it was no easier getting those boots off than it was getting them on. So she struggled and she strained and she pulled and pulled and she changed out the boots, got the first boot on, got the second boot on. And just as she got the second boot on and he started to stood up, he said, these aren't my boots. Oh, no. So there she was. Okay. And she pulls off the first boot. She pulls off the second boot, finally gets them off, sets them to the side. And he looks up at the teacher and says, "They're my brothers, but my mom made me wear them today." She had to bite her tongue at this point. Okay, so she gets the boots, she pulls them back up, first foot back on the second foot, she gets them all on, there he is. She looks at him and says, "Where's your mittens?" He said, "They're in my boots." That's what we call long suffering, amen? This is patience under repeated frustration. Can we relate to this? Yes. So this teacher was amazingly patient. Why? Because this was a little kindergarten student. And so she knew he didn't do this because he was being mean-spirited or obstinate or malicious. He did it because he was just innocent. And just that's the way it worked, because he's what? Immature. He's immature. And that's why she had to be patient with him. Here's the problem. You and I come to church. We look around us. Oh, there's all these Christians in here. Oh, yeah. Did you know we're all on different maturity levels? Yeah. We're on different growth levels. Some of us have been Christian for a long time. Some of us have been Christians for a short time. But we tend to kind of expect us all to be all grown up. And the truth of it is, ain't nobody here grown up. We're all still growing. We're all still developing. None of us have arrived yet. So what does that mean? It means we've got to be patient with one another. In the church, there's a whole lot of people that need patience while they're growing in faith. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to these words. He says this, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering," there he is with that patience word again. What does he say after that? "Bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So we're all growing, and none of us have arrived at the full maturity level in the body of Christ. We all need patience. We all need love while we are growing. That's why we need the body of Christ. And here's what he goes on, just another couple verses later. He goes on in Ephesians 4, and he says this, "And he himself," or Jesus, "gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry," and get this, "for the edifying of the body of Christ," or the building up or the maturing of the body of Christ. Now, pay attention as I read the next few verses. Listen how much he talks about growing and developing in our faith. "Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." That's God's purpose for the body, is that we would all grow, but none of us are there to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. We're all a work in progress. Turn to somebody and say, "You're a work in progress." Isn't that the truth? So am I. Now remember, here's patience. Remember, we defined it as this. Patience is the power of God's love flowing in our lives to help us to suffer long under adversity. That's what patience is. And so patience is the fruit of God's Spirit in our lives, isn't it? And that allows us to love one another and be kind to one another. And look at verse 15 of Galatians 5, our text. So he talks about the fruit of the Spirit in 22 and 23. But just six verses earlier, look what the Apostle Paul talks about to the Galatian church in verse 15. Galatians 5:15, he says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." So this is a church that needed the fruit of the Spirit of patience in their life. So much so, guess what? The Apostle Paul heard about them biting and devouring, gossiping, criticizing, anger, hatred, divisions among them. And he says, "You guys need to be patient with one another." Wow, perhaps they needed the fruit of patience in their lives and in their church more than any others of the fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reminds us that God has forgiven us and He's been patient with us. And because He has, we are to be patient with others. In Colossians chapter 3, Apostle Paul says this, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness," here he goes again, "long suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another," here's where he gives us the reason. Here's your motivation. Here's why you must do this. "Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." What is he saying? He's saying, be loving, be kind, be forgiving. And what does that require? Patience. It says, I'm going to give you the time and the space to grow and change because I need time and space to grow and change in my life. And God gave me a lot of time and a lot of space, and he's still having to give me time and space to grow in my life. He's patient with me. He's loving toward me. He's forgiving toward me. He's kind toward me. Therefore, as his child, I must be these things as well. That's what he's saying. So the key point here is God is patient with you and me. He's patient with you and me. So we often become impatient with ourselves and others because we don't want to what? Wait on the Lord long enough to bring the changes that we want to see. And that's so hard. Think about this. Craziest thing in the world. God comes up with this scheme. It's not a plan, it's a scheme. He decides, I'm going to take a whole bunch of different people, totally different people. They're going to come in all shapes and sizes. They're going to come from all walks of life. They're going to be as different as day and night. And I'm going to bring them all together and scoop them up and put them all together in one place and call them my church, my body. They're my body. And then I'm going to tell him, listen to this. It's almost like he's walking away. And as he's walking away, he says, and by the way, you all got to love one another and get along. Because that's the only way anybody's going to know that Jesus loves them and is alive, is by seeing your love for one another. Exit. And we're all sitting there going, you're kidding me. What are you thinking? That's his plan. That's his plan. That's how he wants to do it. So we have to be patient with one another. But so often we look at each other and we think we're all grown up because we put on our grown-up disguise. But really, we're still immature and growing up, aren't we? Every one of us. There's a story I heard about a dad who was exhausted at the end of one of those days, you know, those days. And he came home late on top of that. And as he is driving home from work, he was thinking all the way home, I can't wait to get into my easy chair, kick off my shoes, recline, close my eyes, and just take a little cat nap. I am beat, brain dead beat. So he gets home, comes over, gets in his easy chair, props up, shoes off, closes his eyes, and all of a sudden, plop in his lap is his little boy. And he looks up at him and says, "Dad, let's play." And he's thinking, "Ah, I can't play right now." So he didn't want to disappoint his son, but he looked down and he saw on the newspaper there was some space mission and they had this big picture of the planet Earth. So he had an idea. He told his son, "Go get some scissors and some tape." So he did. Son comes back, he takes the scissors, he cuts out the picture of the Earth, and he cuts it all up in a makeshift homemade jigsaw puzzle. He scoops up the pieces, hands his son the pictures of the Earth, and he hands him the tape, and he says, "Son, you go put the puzzle together, and when you're done, Daddy and you will play." He's thinking, 20, 30 minutes at least. So son takes the stuff, goes into his room, and less than 10 minutes later, comes running back, and he says, Dad, I did it. I finished the puzzle." There was. It was done. He couldn't believe his eyes. "How on earth did you put that together so quickly?" He said, "It was easy, Dad. When I put the man's face together, look, the whole world came together." And it's kind of like that with you and I. When Jesus is able to bring his body together into one perfect man, and we're in unity together, the whole world will come together. Our whole world. And maybe then the world will see and to know that Christ is real. Isn't that his goal? God's goal is to bring unity to the body that the world may know that he is real, that Jesus is alive. So speaking of jigsaw puzzles, anybody do a jigsaw puzzle lately? Anybody? Yep, lately? Okay, we got one. We didn't have any in first service. You're our hero. But every one of us have done jigsaw puzzles, haven't we? We've all done jigsaw puzzles, haven't we? I came across this article entitled, "Everything I Needed to Know About Life I Learned from a Jigsaw Puzzle" by Jackie Sewell. If you want the article, text me or email me, I'll send it to you. I'm going to read, she has 13 things she learned in life through jigsaw puzzles. So I'm going to read a few of them for you today. The first one she says is, "Don't force a fit. If something is meant to be, it will come together naturally." Number two, "When things aren't going well, take a break. Everything will look different when you return." Isn't that the truth? Number three, "Be sure to look at the big picture. Getting hung up on the little pieces only leads to frustration." Can anybody say amen to that? Number four, "Perseverance pays off. Every important puzzle went together bit by bit, piece by piece." Let's skip over to number eight. "Working together with friends and family makes any task fun, especially jigsaw puzzles. I hate trying to do a jigsaw puzzle alone. It just seems to go a lot slower than when I have help." Anybody else know what I mean? Yeah. Number 11, "Take time to celebrate your successes, even little ones." Number 12, "Anything worth doing takes time and effort. A great puzzle," she says, "can't be rushed." So as we look at these lessons learned and through about life through jigsaw puzzles, a common theme through these lessons is what? Patience. It's all about patience. It's having patience. It's not forcing the fit. It's taking a break. It's like getting back. Look at the big picture here. Working together, celebrating my successes, and realizing that anything really worthwhile is going to take time. It's going to take effort if it's a worthwhile goal. It's rare. It is done. Some people can do it. It's rare for us to finish a jigsaw puzzle in one sitting, isn't it? Unless it's your child's jigsaw puzzle and it's only got 20 pieces. But if it's our jigsaw puzzle with 500, 1,000, 2,000 ridiculous pieces, it's impossible to do one of those in just one sitting. So it takes time. And here's the problem. When we aren't patient at our jigsaw puzzles or at life, what do we try to do? We try to, you know what I'm talking about. We try to force those pieces to fit. It's like, it's got to fit. It's got, and you know it's not going to fit. You know it's not going to fit, but you just want to push it together to make it fit. It can fit. And if it fits, that's good because I got that piece. But it doesn't fit. We want to force it to fit. That's what we do. Same thing with we find ourselves unhappy when we just see a little progress. It's like, it's taken me 2 hours and I've only put together 15 pieces and I got, you know, 1,965 pieces left to go. And that's discouraging because it's taken so much time. And so we're discouraged when we only see a little progress. And then what happens? How many of you have started a jigsaw puzzle and you didn't finish it? Yeah, because we're all tempted to just, I'm going to get up and I'm going to give up. I'm just going to forget it. Scoop it all up, put it in the box, send it off to the Goodwill. Some other side. Do you know how many puzzles the Goodwill probably has? And you know they're all missing. Yes, yes. So have you ever noticed that God, though, even though we're in a hurry all the time, God is rarely in a hurry. Almost never is he in a hurry. He just isn't. It's not part of it. We want things done yesterday, but God's timetable is a lot slower. Why is that? God appeared to Abraham when he's 75 years old. And then he waits 25 years after he promises him a son. He waits 25 years to give him a son. And then he's 100 years old. Sarah's 90 years old. Why? Because God just isn't in a hurry. And then God tells Abraham, look, everywhere where you step your feet on the ground, it's yours. Every place you put your feet, it belongs to you and to your descendants. Abraham comes to end his life, breathes his last breath. Do you know how much land he owned when he died? One burial plot. That's it. That's all he owned. But God said, it's all yours. Everywhere you put your feet, and for years he walked all over the promised land. Comes to the end of his life, he owns a plot, one little tomb. That's it. His descendants would have to leave the land, forget this, 400 years. 400 years his descendants leave the land that God had given to Abraham everywhere he set his feet. And then they spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness before they can come back into the land. Now, God promised to make Abraham a great nation way back here. It's been 400 years, another 40 years, almost 500 more years before they actually become a great nation. Oh, they're in the land after 440 years, but it's the time of the judges. They're not a great nation. They're just a ragtag group of tribes. They don't become a great nation until a king named David is king. And that's now 900 years God waits. He's not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry. His time frame is not the same as our time frame, is it? Speaking of kings, let's look at David. God tells Samuel, his prophet, I want you to go anoint David as king. He anoints as king, you're king of Israel and Judah. Go in peace. Saul chases him, trying to kill him for about 25 years. He lives in the wilderness waiting. God's not in a hurry. But he crowned me as king, I'm his king. But he's waiting and waiting and waiting to become king. God's not in a hurry. Then look at his son Jesus. God's already decided Jesus only got 33 years on the planet Earth. 33 years, then comes the crucifixion. Now, God waits until Jesus is 30. He gives him 3 years to gather his disciples, teach him, train him, disciple him, do the miracles, do the healing, gather all the people, and do the work of salvation and the crucifixion. 3 years, that's all he gives them. If I was God and I only have 33 years that my son was going to be on the earth, I would make use of every day, every minute. Time's short. You got a lot of work to do. You got to establish the kingdom of God on the earth with these 12 guys. Good luck. You got a lot of work to do. Oh, by the way, I know you got 33 years, but I'm only going to give you 3 years to do it. Wow. His time is just different than our time, isn't it? Then we get to the last pages in the Bible. What's some of the last words of Jesus' mouth? Behold, I come quickly. Quickly? Are you kidding me? We're still waiting. What is he doing? He's trying to develop patience in all of us as his church. His time is not ours. He's not in a hurry. Consider the patience of God. The Apostle Paul said this, however, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, there we are with that word again, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Hey, look at how long-suffering I was with Paul. That's a pattern. It means don't give up on the people you're praying for, even though it takes a long time. And then the Apostle Peter, he says the same thing. He says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering toward us. Have you ever considered the long-suffering of God in your life? Your life. Think about when God first tapped you on the shoulder. How long did it take after that tap until you finally surrendered to him? Yeah, he's long-suffering in our lives, isn't he? Yeah, we go this way, we go that way, and he's patiently waiting for us to come to him. How patient he's been in our life. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Now, in Mark chapter 3, Jesus has gathered these multitudes. They're following him. Hundreds of people, probably. And out of the men, he's going to choose 12 to be his disciples, which will become his apostles. So that's where we are in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 13. It says he went up to a mountain, Jesus went to a mountain, and then he called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him, and he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. And then he goes on and he lists and names all 12 of the disciples. It says he went on to a mountain and he called to him those he himself wanted and they came to him. Have you considered that? I mean, you are his because he wanted you. He called you because he wanted you. He saw into your life and into your heart, into the depth of your soul. And he says, I want you to be my daughter. I want you to be my son. He wanted you. It says he called those that he wanted, he himself wanted, and they came to him. Some of us wandered a long way this way and that way and back this way before we came to him, and he patiently waits for us. He patiently waits. Why? Because he wants us. It says they came to him. He knows, you'll come. My sheep hear my voice. The voice of another, they'll not respond to or follow. So he knows you will come, but he's had to wait a long time sometimes for us to come. And then it goes on, and it says, and he appointed 12 that they might be with him. God called you, he called me, so that we could be with him. He wants to be with him. He wants you and I to be with him. He wants us to partner with him in life. He doesn't want you to live your life apart from him. He wants to be part of every part of our lives. He wants to be with us through the ups, the downs, the highs, and the lows, to be with him through the heartaches, the sorrows, through the joys. He wants to be with us. And so often, we get so wrapped up in so many things, and we're so busy, we got our to-do list, that we don't take time for the most important things of just being with him. We pass right by our Bible reading, right by prayer, right by spending time with him. And he's waiting. He just waits patiently. He's so patient for us. But he's jealous for us. But he patiently just waits for us, waiting on us. And you might be here today, and he might be waiting on your life. He may be waiting for you to surrender your life, recommit yourself to him. He might be waiting for you to surrender something that he's been waiting. He's been standing just before you, and he's just been holding his hand and saying, when are you going to give me that? When are you going to hand that over to me and let me have that? When are you going to release that to me? Because he doesn't grab stuff from our hands. He may put you in the belly of a big fish. But he waits. He waits. And he waits. And he says, when are you going to give me that addiction? When are you going to give me that sin? When are you going to give me that problem? When are you going to give me that burden? When are you going to give me that whatever it is? You fill in the blank. And he's just waiting. And so often we just hold on to it. And he says, I am waiting for you to give that to me. So I'd like to end with prayer today. And if you're here today and God says, yeah, I'm waiting, are you ready to give that to him? Whatever it is, whatever part of your life or all of your life that you've been holding on to, and you know, I don't have to tell you, you're the one. God speaks to you, and he's saying, you know who you are. I am waiting for you. Will you surrender that to me today? And I want to pray with you. So if that's you, stand up. If you're here and God is waiting and you're ready to say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to give this to you, I'd like you to stand up as we pray. Anybody? You know, and you say, yep, God's been waiting for me to give me this. And you want to pray about it. Anybody here feel like God's waiting and you need to pray? You need to give that to him. So I'm waiting on you. It's not something to strive over. I mean, you, like I said, you literally know I don't have to push this or force this. Because we know when God's been waiting on us. We know when God's been waiting for us to just give it to him. Just surrender it. Just hand it over. Because he's already been telling us. Sometimes it's been weeks, sometimes it's been months, sometimes it's years. He just waits. And he waits. And he's waiting. The patience of God, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? God is so patient with us. And he's patient with us because he loves us. He wants all of us. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you seek after us so much. You never let go of us. You never leave us. And Lord, these here are standing. And they're saying, Lord, I'm giving this to you. You have waited. And Lord, thank you for your patience and your long suffering toward us. You've waited for this day, for this moment, for me to say, yes, I surrender. Yes, I give this to you. Yes, I can't do this on my own. And I realize that only you can do it. And Lord, I'm just going to give you the burden. I'm going to give you this trial. I'm going to give you this obstacle. I'm going to give you, Lord, all of these things that are in my heart and in my life and upon my mind that are hindering me from growing and from drawing closer to you. Lord, you want to be with me. You want me to be with you. Lord, I don't want anything in between. Lord, take these things. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.